Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the inaugural episode of the Necessary Roughness Podcast, brought to you by Last Word on Sports. I'm your host, Nicholas Donatic, and today we're going to talk some football. This show is going to be centered around the NFL, and just to tell you a little bit about myself, I'm from the Bronx in New York, so we're going to focus a little bit on the New York team, but we're going to try not to ignore the rest of the league. There's already a big city bias a little bit, so let's get right into it with the big city bias, and let's go into a Giants and Jets look at the upcoming season. Now, the New York Giants, coming into the year, coming off a tough playoff loss at Lambeau, and if you're just looking at the scoreboard and the stat sheet, they got blown out. But if you watch the game, they were really in it for most of the first half. You give up a Hail Mary, which was reminiscent of the last time the Giants were there in the postseason, and it really deflated the Packers. Well, it did the same to the Giants. You have Odell Beckham, practically a no-show. Eli Manning came out hitting on all cylinders. The man looked like playoff Eli Manning. Reminds me of why eventually he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. You know, you put him in the dogfight, and he's just someone you want with you. Eventually, you know, without Odell Beckham and Shepard essentially a no-show, the best receiver on the field was Tavares King for majority of the time. Will Tye tried his best, but can't do so much, and running game was not there, and the defense bended but didn't break the first half. Second half, couldn't run with them anymore. Green Bay had too much firepower. Coming into this season, they made a lot of improvements in the offseason. They signed Brandon, well, not a lot of improvements, but offensively, they made a lot of improvements. They signed Brandon Marshall, veteran receiver. Marshall's old, but he's going to help. He's the big body receiver that Eli hasn't had since Plaxico Burress, and Eli Manning, for all his faults and for all his great qualities, he needs that receiver. If you take a look even at Will Tye, his tight end coming into this past season, wasn't that big. The last big target, I mean, aside from, you know, Plaxico was a superstar. He had Larry Donnell, but Larry Donnell couldn't catch a cold sometimes. Very inconsistent. He did make some great plays, though. So now, with Marshall on one side, Beckham on the other, and Shepard in the slot, and occasionally Beckham working inside and Shepard outside, and they also drafted Evan Ingram in the first round. This offense, which somehow was the weak point last season, has turned into a strength, supposedly. It all hinges on, and Giants fans know this, it all hinges upon one man, left tackle Eric Flowers, who has, much to the chagrin of Giants fans everywhere, essentially been given the reins at the left tackle position. And he's, sometimes it looks like he has his feet cemented into the ground out there. He just gets blown by. Other times he just looks blatantly lost. I mean, you don't have to look far past his Pro Football Focus rating when they called him one of the worst left tackles in the league. But they're going to roll with him, apparently. We'll see, unless Coach Ben McAdoo says something else. There were undrafted rookies that they were looking at, but you don't want to throw an undrafted rookie out there. No matter how bad Flowers is, you know, he's been in the system for since McAdoo was a coordinator, so he knows the playbook a little bit better. Adam Bisnawati, he's pretty good. He plays tackle, but who knows? Maybe during the year, if Flowers is awful again, they'll go to him. But the season's going to hinge on Flowers. And if we take a look at it game by game, they open up against Dallas. And another big thing is going to be, will Ezekiel Elliott be suspended for 6 games or any games? Because obviously the Giants play them in week 1 and then later again in week 14. He's going to be there for the latter, barring injury. But will he be there for week 1 in Dallas? Side note, why is week 1 always Giants-Cowboys 8:30? There are other good games in the NFL. There are other good rivalries. Come on now. And this is coming from a native New Yorker. Come on now, it gets old. You're telling me you couldn't throw Oakland-Denver? That'd be a phenomenal game. Derek Carr coming back from an injury. Trevor Siemian taking the reins. I'm more intrigued in that one, and I'm, come on now. Anyway, with Zeke on the field, the Cowboys offense is dynamic. Because Dak Prescott showed in his first year that he is wise beyond his years. He can read the field, and he knows when to scramble if he has to. He's not a young Robert Griffin III back there. He's not just going to jet at the first sign of trouble. He can hang in there with the big boys. He's got Jason Witten, who's one of the smarter tight ends in the league. He just knows exactly where to sit down to get open. Dez Bryant on the outside. Terrence Williams. Good offense. Great offensive line. Doug Free, Travis Frederick, Tyron Smith, etc., Zach Martin. But when you look at the defensive end, they lost Mo Claiborne and Barry Church, just to name two. There's suspensions they're dealing with on the defensive end. And their defense, I think the Giants take this one. And if you just look down, we'll power through the rest of it. Week 2, the Giants are going to take on the Detroit Lions at home. Detroit was a surprise team last year, pushed their way towards the playoff contention. I think the Giants win that one. They got Philly in Philly, and we'll get into my opinion on Carson Wentz. I think Carson Wentz is going to be a great quarterback in this league. I still remember the primetime game they played last year. It looked like the man was greased up. The Giants defenders couldn't get him. He was so elusive. Then they go down to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's going to be a tough game. I think the Giants lose that game. They've always struggled with DeSean Jackson. Now they have to deal with DeSean Jackson, O.J. Howard, Mike Evans. Not a good combo. Then they got the Chargers at home. Should be an easy win. They go to Denver for a primetime game. This should be big because Eli Manning is one of the easier quarterbacks to bait in the NFL. He's a football savant, but ask D'Angelo Hall how easy it is. I think Eli throws 2 picks that game, but I think the Giants defense can hold with the Denver defense, a low-scoring game. I'll give the edge to the Giants slightly, but then next week they got Seattle at home. I think after a hard-fought game, I think they're going to lose that one. And let's see, that would drop their record to 4-3 before the bye. Then they have the LA Rams at home. That should be a victory. We'll see how Jared Goff is this season. Last season, he did not look great. But, you know, Peyton Manning led the league in interceptions as a rookie. So, who knows? Anything's possible. He could be a stud this year. Todd Gurley could be a revelation. Could be what he was 2 years ago. I bet fantasy owners are hoping that he is. And trying to get a steal out of that one. But only time will tell. Not the best offensive line out there for the Rams. Then they go to San Francisco. Should be an easy win. Brings us to 6-3. The Chiefs at home, Alex Smith, the game manager extraordinaire, dink and dunk legend. That's going to be a rough one. I think they'll take that one. Then they got next week in Washington and the following week against the Raiders. And that's going to be in week 12 and 13. Those two games are probably going to determine how this goes down the stretch run for the Giants. Because Washington, losing Pierre Garçon, losing DeSean Jackson, on the offensive end, they signed Terrell Pryor, which is a phenomenal signing in my opinion. But it's just a one-year deal. It's a rental. I think they might be able to throw money at Terrell at the end of the year. They'll probably be willing because I think Terrell's found a new spot, probably wondering why he wasn't a receiver all along. But it's an NFC East game. They always play each other hard. You know, it could go either way. It usually does. I think the Giants probably split with the Redskins this season, whatever that means to you. They probably split with Dallas. They probably split with Philly. So that's 3-3 in the division, not the best. I don't think they can beat the Oakland Raiders in Oakland. I think Derek Carr, now personally, I would love to see how last season would have played out if Carr had not have gotten injured, what happens in the playoffs. Because I think the Oakland Raiders with Derek Carr don't have trouble with the Texans. Now, the Texans' defense is phenomenal, and we'll get into them later, but Derek Carr, I think, is one of the best young quarterbacks in this league. You talk about as the changing of the guard happens, so to speak. Peyton Manning's retired. Tom Brady, even though he wants to play till he's 70, is going to retire in the next few years. Eli Manning's probably going to hang him up. Phillip Rivers, Big Ben. At the top of that next crop, you got guys like Russell Wilson, guys like Cam Newton, even though he's didn't have the best year last year. He was injured. Jameis Winston's on the come up. Marcus Mariota. And Derek Carr, some great quarterbacks out there, and they're the future faces of this game, at the quarterback position at least. Anyway, tangent aside, get used to that, it's going to happen from time to time. I think the high end of this might be 11 wins for the Giants. I see them being a 10-6 ball club. If we look it back through, run through the out-of-division opponents, I give the Giants the edge over Detroit, the artist formerly known as the San Diego Chargers, now the LA Chargers. The Denver Broncos in, I think, what will be one of the best games of the year, for at least, you know, for the Giants, as far as the league. I think it's going to be a defensive struggle. It should be very entertaining. Then the LA Rams, the Niners, the Chiefs, and finally the Arizona Cardinals, who could make some noise this year, but I'm not personally expecting much. As we continue through the NFC East, we look at the Dallas Cowboys, and Dallas might be playing without Zeke Elliott for six weeks. So this division is really tough to call considering who knows how much time he's going to miss. If Zeke misses six games, he's going to miss games against the Giants, Broncos, Cardinals, Rams, Packers, and Niners. Now, you take Zeke out of that lineup, they should still be able to beat the Niners and Rams very easily. I think they can beat the Cardinals. Green Bay, in a shootout, should be able to win that game. Denver, depends on how much you believe in Trevor Siemian. Personally, I think Trevor Siemian's a pretty good quarterback. Is he going to be a Pro Bowler? I don't know. Time will tell, but I don't think so. I think he's a serviceable NFL quarterback, much like Alex Smith. I don't want to make that comparison, but when I think serviceable, it's the first thing that comes to mind. And then they have the opening day game against the Giants, which obviously I think the Giants would win. Then you look down into the season, they have to play Atlanta. The Dallas Cowboys' final five games are home to Washington, in New York, in Oakland, 8:30, home to Seattle, and in Philadelphia. That's rough. That is a rough conclusion to the season. I think the Eagles are going to make some noise this year. I'm a big believer in Carson Wentz. Alshon Jeffrey is a great player. And it was perfect when he was in Chicago because he reminded me a lot of Brandon Marshall just in his physique. You know, very large receiver, big hands. Not the fastest guy on the field, but he can catch a jump ball when you need him to. They signed LeGarrette Blount, even though LeGarrette didn't look great in the preseason. It's just the preseason. I think Philly has an outside chance to sneak away with this division. If they get hot, they were hot to start the last season, and then they kind of fell on their face. Let's see what Doug Peterson can do with them. You look at the Redskins, I think the Redskins have the worst shot to win this division. Taking a look at it, you lose your two best receivers, and you only add a quarterback turn wide receiver. Not to denigrate Terrell Pryor, he's phenomenal, but they got Terrell Pryor, Jamison Crowder, Jordan Reed. Jordan Reed, one of the best tight ends in football. You know, when healthy, it's the same problem with the guy who is considered the best tight end in football, Rob Gronkowski. You got to stay on the field. Can't be the best at your position if you're not on the field. Just to wrap up the NFC East, if that was a little long-winded for you, I have the Giants winning it, but I wouldn't be shocked if Philly snuck in. And the bottom line for me is that the Giants got better in this offseason and the Cowboys got worse. I'm a little skittish on the impending Ezekiel Elliott suspension. Six games, could get knocked down to four games. Who knows if the NFLPA takes him to court, which they're going to, how long they can get it pushed back so he doesn't have to serve. I mean, I will remind you that Brady did have to serve his suspension. If Tom Brady had to serve four games for destroying a cell phone, whether you think he did it or not, that's your opinion, and allegedly playing a role in the deflating of footballs, not even deflating them himself, simply playing an accomplice role, I think the NFL is acting on where there's smoke, there's fire, especially after all the debacles they've had regarding domestic violence. They wanted to get out in front of this one, and sometimes when you try to get out in front of it, you make mistakes. So maybe this will get knocked down, maybe it won't, we'll see. I'm saying Dallas isn't going to win this division. And as we posture to the opposing locker room at Giants Stadium, we look at the New York Jets. I don't think we need to go game by game for the Jets. They're starting Josh McCown at quarterback. They just traded Sheldon Richardson for Jermaine Kearse, which is an interesting deal. They got Jermaine Kearse and a second, likely near the end of the second round, because it's Seattle. Jermaine Kearse is a talented guy, good receiver. Is he a top-tier receiver? No. Ironically enough, he's a great number two. He's probably reminiscent of Eric Decker. I don't think he's good enough to be a number one receiver on a playoff team, unless the team is just stacked offensively. You know what I mean? Like if they have a top flight running back and such and a great all-around receiving core. The Jets don't have a great all-around receiving core. The Jets don't have a great all-around anything. So the Jets are going to be in contention for the number one draft pick, which brings us to the question that's been on everyone's mind throughout the preseason and the offseason. Why would you sign Josh McCown? And now, why would you make Josh McCown your starting quarterback, Todd Bowles, if this is all about the future? Now, the obvious argument would be Bowles made him the starting quarterback because he's the best quarterback. That's neither here nor there. He might be. Having watched the preseason and having seen, especially the Jets-Giants game, the dress rehearsal game, third game of the preseason, Hackenberg looked bad. The Giants' defense is good, but with twos against the twos, Bryce Petty looked much better than Hackenberg with ones against the ones. Now, does that say anything? I don't know. Now, the inevitable is who do they turn to halfway through the season when they're 2-6 or 0-8 or, I don't know, insert missing playoffs record here. Who do they turn to? Do they turn to Hackenberg or Petty? They drafted Hackenberg in the second round last year. I don't get it. You got to give this guy a shot. If you're just going to go out and tank and then draft a quarterback, you might have to take a look at your GM. You might have to fire him. Mike Maccagnan's head might have to be on the chopping block for that one. You don't draft a quarterback in the second round that you just can't start. Is it that he's that awful? Will Todd Bowles, does he not fit what Todd Bowles is trying to do offensively? Todd Bowles, I know he's a defensive center coach, but does he not fit the scheme the team is going for? I mean, Josh, how much better is Josh McCown, really? You got to throw him out there. You got to throw him in the fire and see what happens. Because if you drafted this guy and he's a bust, you got to know you can move on. But if you throw him out there and he's not bad, then you might have to change your whole strategy for the future. But you got to give him a shot. You don't know if you don't give him a shot. As far as Bryce Petty goes, I don't know if he gets action at quarterback this year. He probably will. The team's not going to win many games. I can't imagine him not. Then again, at the end of last season, the team was bad and they wouldn't throw Hackenberg in. So who knows what the Jets are really going to do? Furthermore, just a situation that came to my mind, you can't bank on Sam Darnold at the number one pick. That's the rumor. That's what everyone's been saying. Sam Darnold is going to come out. He's going to go number one. Now, personally, there's a lot of good quarterbacks in college football. Lamar Jackson comes to mind. You also think of Josh Rosen down at UCLA. I know there was a report that some teams like Rosen better than Darnold right now. I mean, they haven't even played the season yet, so it's a little early to judge, but it's all prognostication at this point. We haven't kicked off. So it could very well come down to, you know, what if someone gets hurt? What if Darnold gets hurt during the season? Do you draft him? Is it a Sam Bradford situation? Are you that confident that you will still take him? What if he doesn't come out? Who knows? What if you get an Eli Manning and San Diego Chargers situation where he just says blatantly, I'm not going to play for you? What do you do? Do you have the standoff? Now, if you're in that dire straits at quarterback and the guy's this, you think he's this much of a transcendent talent, you have to, but boy, it would be nothing more New York Jets-like than drafting a star, drafting a young quote-unquote star and he refuses to play for them. Anyway, moving on. Just in summation for the Jets, yeah, they're playing for the future. Let's look at the Jets division. It'll take about 60 seconds. Start your stopwatch. New England's going to win this division. Miami's got Jay Cutler at quarterback. Now, personally, I don't think Cutler's the worst quarterback in the world. I think he's better than McCown. But the guy didn't even want to play. They had to pull him out of a Fox broadcast booth. Talented team down in Miami. Who knows? If Cutler finds it, whatever it is for him, if he finds that groove with Adam Gase, who knows? Maybe they challenge for a wild card spot. They're not winning that division. Not even close. Not even after the Julian Edelman injury will they win this division. Buffalo's a really interesting team. As per usual, almost every year I'm very intrigued by Buffalo. Tyrod Taylor at quarterback. Got LeSean McCoy in the backfield. They traded Sammy Watkins because why not, I guess. Had to move him. Can't have good players. Buffalo serves to disappoint almost every season, even when they get off to a hot start, dating back to Ryan Fitzpatrick. Buffalo's not going anywhere. So let's just run down the board as this is the inaugural episode. The football season is starting in less than a week, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you're nice and excited. I know I am. Let's continue through the AFC first. Let's go to the AFC North. I have Pittsburgh taking the AFC North this season. Second place, probably Cincinnati. I think with Martavis Bryant being reinstated, assuming he is reinstated, he's still up in the air. Le'Veon Bell just came back, signed his franchise tag, or he's going to sign his franchise tag in the coming days. He's in a play. Hopefully he stays healthy. I think he's going to have a monster year. I think Big Ben's going to have a monster year. And I think with Bryant, Ben, Brown, and Bell, that's four Bs. They had three last year, and it looked pretty damn good. Now they got four. And I think their defense is good enough to hold for them to win some games, for them to win some competitive games. I really liked the pick of TJ Watt. Having seen this kid, having seen, you know, highlights, having watched a little bit of him in college, watching him in the first preseason game, he leapt off the screen. I know it's just preseason, but he wasn't playing out there against all scrubs. TJ Watt, I think he's going to be a player in this league. Continuing through, AFC West. This one was hard for me. I'm a big Derek Carr fan, and I really thought the Raiders had a chance last year. But I'm not going chalk. I got the Denver Broncos with a healthy Trevor Siemian edging out Oakland and Kansas City as well. I think when you give a good young quarterback like Trevor Siemian, Demaryius Thomas, and Emmanuel Sanders with a decent running game and a phenomenal defense, I think they can piece this together, and I think they can contend for the division. I have them winning the division because I'm a little weary of Oakland's secondary, and if it comes down to Alex Smith and Trevor Siemian, flip a coin. I'll take Siemian. Now, in the AFC South, I have Houston winning, led by a revitalized comeback player of the year type season from J.J. Watt. Just as an aside, shout out to J.J. Watt. Great person, raising all that money for Hurricane Harvey relief. What a kind thing to do, and just another reason to love J.J. Watt. Great player, great person, all around. But back to the football. DeAndre Hopkins, having signed a new contract this week, I think he's going to have a big year. He just got his money. Usually it only goes one, two ways. You get your money and you disappoint, or you get your money and you keep trending up. I'm hoping he keeps trending up. And I personally, I don't think it matters who they have at quarterback. I think Tom Savage is adequate enough to play it safe and win this division with Lamar Miller, DeAndre Hopkins, and that defense. Their defense is phenomenal, especially with Watt coming back. Now, what if they put in Deshaun Watson? I think if they put in Deshaun Watson, they probably have about the same chance of winning the division. If nothing more than Deshaun is an unknown commodity right now. Personally, if they put him in, I think he has a chance to win Rookie of the Year. But that being said, you never know. He did have a problem in college with interceptions. In the NFL, you can't throw interceptions. You know, Captain Obvious, I know, haha. But you just can't have it. You can't make those big mistakes. And with a rookie quarterback, it's too possible, you know? He's in a division with a guy like Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck, all talent in the world, he still throws the interceptions. You know what I mean? Blake Bortles. Come on, I don't have to tell you that one. Blake Bortles throws a lot of picks. Tennessee was a really interesting team. Tennessee was a really interesting team to me as well with Mariota. I think they're trending up. They're really talented. I think Tennessee can probably get in as a wild card team. As for the other wild card team, I think it'll be a toss-up between Kansas City and Oakland. Personally, I have Oakland in that one on Derek Carr's little revenge tour, as I think if Carr doesn't get injured last year, I think the Raiders make it to the AFC Championship game. And call me crazy, but I think that would have been a close game. Also, I think Carr might have had a shot at that MVP. Matty Ice got it, and props to him, but Derek Carr had a phenomenal season, and it was an awful feeling to watch it go down that way. So I got Kansas City missing out. And the interesting thing will be, and obviously this is a prediction off a prediction, which is kind of unnecessary, but why not? I think if Kansas City does miss the postseason, I think it might give the team leeway in pushing Alex Smith out the door because he's getting older. And considering he is, like I said before, he's a decent quarterback. He's a good quarterback, but he's not going to knock your socks off. You know what I mean? Patrick Mahomes, they really believe in this kid. They traded up in the first round to draft a quarterback. He's not going to ride the bench for long. This isn't going to be an Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre situation. They don't love you that much, Alex. And he knows it. I think they're going to miss the playoffs, and I think that's going to be his way out. On to the NFC. Let's start with the NFC North. I have the Packers winning this one. The Bears are rebuilding. I personally don't think the Vikings have enough firepower to win that division. The Vikings are a good team. Dalvin Cook, I like the pick at running back. Adam Thielen at receiver is a stud, a hidden gem. Kyle Rudolph's a monster. Anthony Barr on the defensive end, speedy pass rusher from the linebacker position, very much so like Khalil Mack. Harrison Smith, one of the best safeties in football. Xavier Rhodes, Linval Joseph anchoring the defensive line in the middle. I think they're a good all-around team, but I think when it comes down to it, I don't think they can win a shootout with Green Bay to win the division. So I'm taking Green Bay. In the West, you got two teams that are completely out of it before the season even starts, pretty much eliminated from playoff contention already. You got the Rams, the now Los Angeles Rams. How entertaining that'll be for the fans. Another five-win season. 7 wins would be a good season for them. Good thing they moved them to a big market. You need that. And San Francisco, who's playing for the future. They signed Brian Hoyer to tide them over at quarterback, I'm guessing. Brian Hoyer's not the answer. They know that. So it comes down to Seattle and Arizona. And I'm taking Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks over Carson Palmer. David Johnson, phenomenal running back. Underrated, in my opinion, if that's possible. doesn't get as much shine as he deserves. Larry Fitzgerald, who's in the twilight years of his career, Patrick Peterson and them. I think with the way the NFL is in 2017, it comes down to the quarterback play sometimes. And if Russell Wilson and Carson both stay healthy, which is a big if, that's two guys that are pretty prone to getting nicked up. But if they both stay healthy, I'm taking Russell in that one. Defensive-wise, I think Seattle's better, especially with the acquisition of Sheldon Richardson. Offensively, I think I'd give the edge to Arizona. It's not so slight, but it gets closer because of Carson Palmer. The guy is prone to making mistakes. I trust Russell Wilson more with the game on the line. I'll take Seattle. In the NFC South, the home of the NFC champion Falcons, I'm taking the Bucs. I'm big on the Bucs this season. Dirk Cutter, head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I like what he's done there. I like his chemistry with Jameis Winston. And what I like even more is that they added more firepower to their offense. DeSean Jackson, the man is electric. He's getting old, it's true. And he's not the biggest guy. But trust me, having watched him tear apart the NFC East, he's a player. Not to mention you pair him with the opposite of him, Mike Evans. Mike Evans, who's got some underrated quickness, one of the best receivers in the league. Coming into the league, he was called Baby Megatron, and, you know, now you can see why. You pair him with Jameis, DeSean Jackson, O.J. Howard, who was the most complete tight end in the draft. Phenomenal player. Big body, got the quickness. He's like a... I think the ceiling for O.J. Howard is a Jordan Reed-type player. Hopefully he could stay on the field. Obviously, Jordan's had some trouble with that, but O.J. doesn't have too extensive of an injury history, at least not that I'm aware of. At the running back situation, you got the Muscle Hamster, one of the best nicknames in the sport, and Charles Sims, and I think they're going to edge out one of the tougher divisions offensively. You got Carolina and former MVP Cam Newton trying to rebound from a disappointing season. Christian McCaffrey's going to make an impact. Curtis Samuel's going to make an impact. Kelvin Benjamin, I don't think they're as good as Tampa Bay, but every team has won this division in the past few years. You know, I think the Saints are probably going to come in last after dealing Brandon Cooks. After that, you could tell me any order of the other three teams and I'll believe it. I have it going Bucks in first, Falcons in second, Carolina in third, but it could just as easily be the other way around. Since I had the Giants winning the NFC East, I have another NFC East team, the second place team, as probably the second wild card, because the NFC East teams always beat up on each other. It's usually 9 to 11 wins to win that division. Last year, I believe, was an outlier. Dallas with 13 wins. So I have the Dallas Cowboys in the second wild card slot. And I'm a little hazy on this one. I really don't know about the Zeke suspension. But considering how long it took for Brady to have to serve his, I think this might take a while to play out. So I'm going to say that, and even if Zeke plays in 10 games, I think Dallas is good enough to make the postseason offensively. I have Atlanta taking the first wild card spot, just getting edged out in the division by Tampa Bay. And all talk of a Super Bowl hangover, I think there will be one there. It's hard to get over a loss. It's hard to get over a 25-point comeback in the biggest game of your life. But I think this team is talented enough to still make the postseason. They're not going to sleepwalk into it. You know, this isn't a New England Patriots situation where the division is that easy. I think they have tough competition, and I think this is a year where Jameis makes a big step. I think Matt Ryan's going to come down a little bit off his MVP season. I think they're going to be a little bit worse offensively, but defensively they'll be a little bit better. So, I have them taking the first wild card spot. Going on to the playoffs, we'll just skip to the Super Bowl. I'm not going to bore you with the semantics. My Super Bowl pick, and I struggled with this one before the show, so bear with me here. If you will, please. Coming out of the NFC this season, I have the New York Football Giants. Now, in advance, I'm ready for you to call me a homer. Do it. I don't mind. I think if we run through the playoff teams I listed, I think the New York Giants' defense is right up there with any of those teams. Their pass rush is phenomenal, even after having cut a defensive lineman this week due to a suspension. Their secondary, starting with the Jackrabbit, Janoris Jenkins, one of the best corners in the league. And then moving on to his counterpart, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, one of the more perplexing players in the league to watch. His athleticism is almost unrivaled in the league. But there are times where you'll just see him get beat. Then you have last year's first-round draft pick Eli Apple at the number 3 corner position. You got Landon Collins back there with Nat Burhey, Darian Thompson, and Andrew Adams. Talented bunch of safeties. Obviously, Landon Collins, the best of them. I think the Giants revitalized after last year's postseason debacle and tired of being chastised openly due to the trip to Miami by the wide receivers prior to their playoff game, which was ill-advised to say the least. I think Odell Beckham comes out this season and has another spectacular year. Brandon Marshall coming out this season looking to prove a point. He was called a quitter by one of his own teammates after last season. I think that's going to lead him to try and have a resurgence. He said he's retiring after these 2 years. He's never been to the postseason. I think this is his best shot. You got Sterling Shepard, who's still improving. Evan Ingram, who's cat quick at the tight end position. He's got pretty good hands. Will Tye, Stony Brook alum. Shout out to Will Tye. Will Tye, who's underrated. He's not the best tight end in football. He's not one of the top 10, but he's good enough. He has deceptive speed, he has pretty good hands, and he can block when it counts. I think they have the potential to be good enough to run through the NFC this year. Will it happen? Who knows? It wouldn't surprise me if they didn't. They underachieved before, and they very well could underachieve again. But it certainly wouldn't surprise me if they did either, because they're more than talented enough to do so. On to the AFC, I have this year's version of the Atlanta Falcons, the Pittsburgh Steelers, with Martavis Bryant, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, along with Jesse James at tight end. They have a good offensive line, and they have an underrated defense, I would say. James Harrison, who's a man-child on the defensive end. Artie Burns, who's pretty good. Mike Mitchell, Ross Cockrell, Bud Dupree, Ryan Shazier in the middle. And like I said already, I think TJ Watt's going to make an impact. But I'm really focused on that offense. I think that offense is going to be historically good this season. I think it's going to lead to a very interesting Super Bowl between two quarterbacks taken 10 picks apart in the 2003 draft. That's 14 years ago, people, and I think they're going to be matching up in the Super Bowl finally. And I think I'm going to give the edge in this one to Pittsburgh, as much as I would root against it personally, and I'd be conflicted because this was my pick. And what's more important, your pick being right or your team winning? Everybody knows the answer is your team winning. But I'm taking Pittsburgh in this one. On to the yearly awards. Offensive Rookie of the Year, I have O.J. Howard. I think the Tampa Bay offense is so deep and diverse and talented that O.J. Howard's going to find himself just as open as he was at Alabama. You know what I mean? There's just too much cover. It's so hard to cover a big body tight end that could run like him and has hands like him. Especially when you mix that in with a guy like DeSean Jackson taking the top off the defense. Mike Evans catching balls left and right. I think they're going to be phenomenal. Defensive Rookie of the Year, I have TJ Watt. As I said, I'm very sold on him, and I think he's going to make an impact, and he's learning behind a guy like James Harrison, and that's huge. Huge impact. Keeping it in the family, let's go to Comeback Player of the Year. I have JJ Watt winning that one. He's a man possessed when he's on a football field. If he can make it through the whole year, I think it's almost a guarantee that he wins this. Defensive Player of the Year, I have Landon Collins. Continuing his ascension to stardom, superstardom, in the secondary for the New York Giants. By the end of this year, he might be the best safety in football. I think he'll certainly be right up there with guys like Cam Chancellor, Earl Thomas, Tyrann Mathieu. I think he'll be up there. I think he's already in that discussion. I think by the end of the year, he might be leading the pack. Offensive Player of the Year, never underestimate the power of money. I have Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell, almost a sure thing, fantasy-wise, so you know he's going to put up numbers. But I think it's going to be a big year from a big-time player in a contract season. Now, obviously, this is banking on the fact that he'll stay healthy all season. But with Martavis Bryant on the outside, Antonio Brown opposite him, Antonio Brown, arguably the best receiver in football, Big Ben Roethlisberger throwing the ball, I think Le'Veon Bell is going to have a phenomenal season. He might challenge some records for yards from scrimmage. And an MVP, one of the people that I haven't mentioned for a majority of this, because we overlooked him, Tom Brady. Tom Brady had an MVP-caliber season last year. I think the team that he's on has only gotten better. New England will probably challenge for a one seed, as they do every year. I think Pittsburgh's offense is phenomenal, but I think New England's everything is phenomenal. The only reason I went with Pittsburgh in the long run is because I think it'll be a shootout, and I'm taking Pittsburgh. I think they're more talented offensively, and I don't know if Bill Belichick will be able to scheme his way out of this one. Obviously, he's one of the greatest, if not the greatest, coaches of all time, but that offense is super powered, and I think if they're all healthy, it's going to be a slobber knocker, whether it's in Foxborough or in Pittsburgh, and I've got Pittsburgh coming out on top. But that being said, back to the point, I have Tom Brady winning the MVP. I think if Tom continues to be this good at his advanced age, you can't ignore it. You know, I fought with this one for a little while. I kicked around maybe Bell for MVP. I don't think that was going to happen because they didn't give it to Zeke. You know what I mean? Obviously, they went with Matt Ryan. The fact that they went with Matt Ryan shows you that the voters really value the quarterback position over the running back position, which they should. But sometimes the running back is the one driving the bus. I fought with Bell. I fought with maybe Big Ben. On the NFC side, I thought about Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to go with Tom Brady. As we learned in the Super Bowl last year, you can't go wrong betting on Tom Brady. Even when the chips are down and it looks like you just lost everything, the man pulls a miracle out of thin air, and now he's cemented his place in history on the Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks, and he's probably leading the pack with 5 rings. As we start to wrap up the show, let's go to the game of the week. Now, this might be kind of obvious. There's only one game before the next episode. It's going to be Kansas City versus New England, opening up the season Thursday evening in Foxborough. No word on whether Roger Goodell's going to attend or not. That'll be interesting. It's probably a prop bet you could place on that one. The not-so-bold prediction of the week, New England's going to win. Tried to come up with a bold prediction. I mean, I could throw one out there if you'd really want one, but let's play it safe in the first episode. Let's go with the not-so-bold prediction. New England's going to win this one in front of the home crowd to kick off the NFL season. It should be a fairly eventful game. We'll see how guys like Brandon Cooks and Tom Brady click when the games matter. I just don't think Alex Smith can outduel Tom Brady on his home field to open the NFL season when they're celebrating their 5th Super Bowl victory in the Brady Belichick era. Anything is possible, but like I said, not so bold. I'm taking New England. All right, ladies and gentlemen, and on that note, I'm going to have to call it a show. Thank you for tuning in to the first episode of the Necessary Roughness podcast. Once again, I'm your host, Nicholas Donatic, here for Last Word on Sports. Just a reminder to tune into the podcast weekly, every Friday afternoon/evening, or actually, whenever you want to tune in. That's when the new episodes drop, but feel free to listen whenever you want. Feel free to get in touch with me, @NickDonatic on Twitter, and see you in the next one.